joy.
Acts 8 is always a pleasant surprise at 9 o'clock when you stand up after having sat down at 9 and see that the crowd has doubled. It's good to see that you just—that's just who you are. You've done it again. But it's good to have each of you here. I will also say I'm going to go ahead and put in my request to hear "Some Mean Girl" again anytime soon. That was amazing. There you go.
Remember that part of that
double? Oh yeah. We didn't notice. It's actually not all that unusual to request to hear a piece of music again. Really weird as a minister to get a sermon requested again. And today you're getting one of those. I have this in the last year and a half probably been requested almost a dozen times by various people. And I just would always promise when the timing's right, we'll make it happen. And after last week's conversation about mental health, particularly me speaking of my own depression, this felt like an appropriate message to go back to. So today's message is entitled "Hallelujah in the Dark." I've heard there was a secret chord they played in the peace of Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, made it live by the King composing "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah." Well, it is true that most of us do not seek out the dark places in life. But those dark places do still happen. And making it through them, not only helps us trust that we can make it through the next one, but it also tends to make us stronger. The truth is, it's good to understand the cycle of going through the dark times in life and ultimately coming out of them stronger for the experience. It's good to understand life was not designed to put you through the tough times, but rather it's what pulls you through them. We can learn a lot. We can learn a lot from those realities. And we can have a better life when we understand them. But let's not pretend like those dark places aren't difficult. The dark times of life are tough. And we do feel forsaken or lost or overwhelmed in the midst of them. It's oh so easy to get sucked up into the darkness, lost in it, and sort of just set up camp there. To not bother to fight your way out, and instead to lick your wounds and wallow in your loneliness. And that's when a sort of bunker mentality sets in, where we shut down and shut people out. And that's when we get stuck there. King David, the main character in the song "Hallelujah," understood about the dark places in life. He'd been there. In Psalm 22, he once penned the words, "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. I am a worm and not you, scorned by others and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads." Yet David saying these things in a book of Psalms. The word "psalm" actually comes from the Greek word "psalmoi," meaning songs sung to harp. In Psalm 22, David's composing in song all of his fears, all of his doubts, all of his frustrations, all of his laments. And in song is sort of flinging them out to the universe. Psalm sung to heart. The song started, the message with Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah playfully suggested there's a secret chord that pleases God. Now, it would seem that King David knew this, at least to some degree. Many of the Psalms that are attributed to him are actually laments, songs of full grief and trouble. It was sort of his version during those days of the blues. And he certainly had reason to sing the blues. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. Tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throne and cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know anything about the story of David? He betrayed his troops. He betrayed his nation. And ultimately, he betrayed his God. And yet, in the Psalms, he continues to sing hallelujah. It would seem that he manages to do it even in the darkest times. Hallelujah. The first half of the word hallelujah means praise. The second half, Yah, means God, as a Yah. Praise God. It actually makes the song even stranger when you think of it. I just betrayed everything that matters to me. Praise God. I'm lost and alone. Praise God. The person I love just left me. Praise God. How, or maybe why, would you sing praises in the darkness? You say I took an amen. I don't even know the name, but even if I did, well, it wasn't to you. There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard. No, which you've heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah. Why sing hallelujah in dark times? I mean, there's a part of us just wants to resist singing praises. When we feel bad, we don't want to sing joyful. When we are feeling blue and in the dark, we want to wallow around in our sadness, even if just for a little while. As the verse I just sang says, it doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah. While David may have known a secret chord that pleased the Lord, it would seem that hallelujahs are just as much for the singer as for the listener. Maybe that's David's secret. It doesn't matter if it's a half-hearted hallelujah. All that matters is that it's hallelujah. God, David in the Psalms, if you learn to sing hallelujahs in the dark, you will be less likely to shut down and get stuck, because even half-hearted, the song will remind you that there is hope and that ultimately you are not alone. There are plenty of reasons to sing in the darkness. Bob Marley says, one good thing about music is when it gets you, you feel no pain. Or Hans Christian Andersen said, where words fail, music speaks. David messed up. His and Bathsheba's first child dies. He is cursed to have rebellion from within his own house. And well, frankly, his story doesn't get much better from that point on. Which brings us back to his song of lament. We don't know when they were written relative to David's life. In reality, we don't really know which ones were written by David as any of them actually were. What we do know is that many of them were written by someone who knew pain, knew the difficult places of life, knew the darkness, and frequently chose to reach out of the darkness in song. Psalm 22, which I quoted earlier, begins with, my God, in doubt I cry by day, but you do not answer. In self-loathing, I am a worm and not humanity. It eventually concludes in praise. I will tell your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. We are David, and David is us. We're all human. And in spite of our best intentions, even in spite of doing our best, we will mess up. We will find ourselves in varying degrees of darkness. We will feel lost and alone and sometimes numb. We will want to wallow in it for a while. Set up camp there. Shut down and shut people out. But like David does in the Psalms, we must learn to sing hallelujah in the dark. I did my best, it wasn't much. Couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. Told the truth, I didn't come a fool yet. Even though it all went wrong, I stand beside the Lord's song and nothing on. Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile. Sometimes your smile is the source of your joy. Why sing hallelujah in the dark? Because sometimes your faith is the source of your hallelujah. Sometimes your hallelujah is the source of your faith. Hallelujah. 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 As always, we want to give you the opportunity to respond to today's message or theme. Questions or thoughts that are brought up here.
Thank you. other thoughts came up. But other thoughts came up were me being beside my mother as she was dying. And some of you have heard me tell the story. She had had a bad injury, and I knew she was dying. I lived in Iowa at the time, and she was there in Iowa. So I flew and arrived at the hospital in Raleigh, close to midnight. And my sisters were there. It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we started singing, and we sang a lot of spiritual songs and a lot of Christmas carols, and we sang Joy to the World. First, we asked the nurses, are we being too loud? They said, no, we're not being too loud. And then some of the nurses came in and sang with us. And we sang Joy to the World, and my mom was breathing. And we got to the last note, the last line, the last verse of Joy to the World, and she sang, she breathed her last breath, and off she went. And after that, I thought, there is never a time when it's not appropriate to sing.
Well said. Thank you for sharing that story. Are there others?
And your sermon reminded me of something that is very simple, but and a couple of Mother Mira, I said, I don't know if you guys are familiar with her. I need to be in your study group. But she suggests that any trials and tribulations that you're going through, just simply give them to the divine. In the process of singing or going through whatever burdens you have, it's giving it to the divine. And it's so human. So, wonderful sermon. Thank you.
Appreciate that. There are other thoughts, responses, questions.
I would like to thank this young lady for sharing this story about her mom. It's so nice to live a full life and go out with such love and compassion.
Thank you, David. I'm Vance. I
heard that sermon the first time you gave it, Mark, and I'm glad I heard it again the second place. And this is, I've been reading recently a little loss of something that was special to me. What it was a 50-cent piece. It was minted in 1964. It was the last solid or silver half dollar the country ever made. It had John Kennedy on the front. This was the year after Kennedy was assassinated, which I lived through, and Mark says. And I had this 50 cent piece. I had no idea where it came from. It just appeared one day. Hallelujah. And then recently I went in my change purse, and it was gone. And I was really, really saddened. But listening to you this morning, I think, I had it. I lost it. Hallelujah.
That's for sure. Let's conclude with that, so we have some more wonderful things.